16-year NFL career, 8-time Pro Bowler, member of 8 All-Pro teams. He played in more than 90 games in which there was a 100-yard rusher. That is the most by any offensive lineman. He was the 36th pick overall in 1994 out of LSU, a member of the 2000s All-Decade team, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2019. He is now in. Kevin Mawai is my guest. Kevin, it's great to have you on the show. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Man, it's been a while, but thanks for having me.
I was thinking the same thing, Kevin. It has been a while. It's great to have you back, and especially after what just happened. It's been a few days that you've had to think about it now, Kevin. So when you hear yourself introduced as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, how does that sound to you?
I love the sound of it. I haven't gotten used to it yet. And then when people ask me about it, I kind of like I almost stutter because I don't even know what to say. I don't know where to start. But it's awesome, and I'm on cloud nine, and I think I'll be that way for a while.
It sounds like it hasn't sunk in fully yet. I kind of wonder about the process. Like, there were a lot of great offensive linemen who were finalists for this year's class. We're talking about guys like Tony Boselli, Alan Faneca, Steve Hutchinson, and you. Not that you were necessarily competing with them for a spot, but at the same time, what was that week like leading up to the announcement? In other words, were you on pins and needles the whole time, or were you kind of at peace with the whole thing?
No, I was at peace with the whole thing leading up to it, and even up until the Saturday morning prior to the election process. And because I always just took the perspective that like, I'm being talked about as one of the best that ever played the game, whether I got on this year or next year or whatever. I mean, I felt good about going into this year, just having reading things that were coming out leading up to it. And, you know, you just didn't ever know it. Because once those voters go in that room, it's out of your control. So you do everything you can to help them get the information they need to present you to the other voters. But I was at peace with it. I really felt like, you know, God's timing is perfect, whether it be this year or next year. I'm happy it was this year that I don't have to go through that process again. But then immediately afterwards, you start thinking about the other guys and you feel bad for them, knowing that they're going to get in at some point in time. And so, you know, I just rejoice in where I'm at. And I had peace all the way up until the 3-hour wait. And that's when I got a little nervous.
Kevin Mawai, my guest. And then, Kevin, you get that knock on your hotel room. You get the knock on the door. What is that moment like?
That was an incredible moment. And, you know, I didn't want to know. Gary Myers, who covered me in New York and was my main presenter, he asked me, if you get in, do you want me to give you a heads up before the knock? And I told him, no, I want it to be as real as possible. Whatever that emotion is, I want it to be a genuine, real emotion. And we waited and waited, and a time passed from when they said they would let anybody know. And it got really late, which was unusual from the last 2 years, and then I got the phone call, not the knock. And so there's a moment where I kind of put my phone down, just kind of leaned forward in my chair, took a breath, and just it got quiet in my room. And it was just my wife and I. And then all of a sudden that boom knocked on the door. And I literally jumped out of my chair and I just yelled, we got it. We got in. And I just started crying. I reached over, grabbed my phone, hit record, threw it across the room to my wife as she was running towards me. I'm just crying. I don't even know what to do. I'm like standing there in a state of like shock almost. And she's like, you got to answer the door. And I did open the door. I was already in full, you know, waterworks were coming out and hugged Dave Baker. And, you know, he gave his, you know, welcome to the Hall of Fame deal and turned back in the room after that was over with and just hugged my wife. And we just cried together. And I haven't stopped crying since. Tears of joy. It's been amazing, like 72 hours.
My man, what a great story. I so appreciate you sharing that. That is absolutely awesome. So when big David Baker shows up at that door and gives you that big embrace, not only that, but he welcomes you, he congratulates you, but he thanks you for what you've done for the game of football. What's it like to not only get into the hall, but for him to thank you for what you've meant and what you've done for the sport?
Yeah, it's pretty special that somebody would thank you for what you did. And because, you know, for those of us that played the game, you know, many of us enjoy the history of the game. And especially me, I want to know who came before me and like how this started in the league and, you know, that kind of thing. And I knew what centers were in the Hall of Fame before I got there. And I also knew that I left a mark on the game the way I played that position. And I changed the way people look at the center position. And for him to thank me for what I did for the game, that was really special, because I know I changed the game in somewhat, you know, if it was just for a little bit for one position, I changed the way that position's played.
Kevin Mawai, my guest. Kevin, you did, because the guys who played with you would say that. The guys who went up against you would say that. I'll give you an example. Bill Parcells brought you to the Jets, and he did so because he wanted you to stop Dolphins linebacker Zach Thomas. Now, for his part, Thomas said that when Miami got ready for the Jets, they started with one person. Quote, it wasn't Vinny Testaverde. It wasn't stopping Curtis Martin. It was Kevin Mawai. He was their leader. That's respect right there. All the guys respected Kevin. End quote. I mean, that's really high praise. What's it mean for you to hear that from a guy like Zach Thomas?
Well, from a guy like Zach, that's really special, because I was asked the other day if I can name one person who deserves to be in the Hall that's not there, who would I name? And without hesitation, it was Zach Thomas. And because I thought he was the smartest linebacker and the hardest player that I've ever played against. And he never left the field. He was a sideline guy. So that coming from him means a ton to me. It means everything to me, because he respected the way I played the game. We hated each other as opponents, but we respected one another. And to get that kind of praise from him, and there are other guys' quotes and Parcells' quote saying I was the best that he ever coached at that position, that means something. That means you were more than just another player. You were somebody who left an indelible mark in the game, but also on their hearts and in their minds is what it meant to be the best. And but Zach was a special guy. I truly loved playing against him, because he was fun to play against, but he was a true competitor in every sense of the word.
You know, Kevin, you mentioned Bill Parcells. I talk to, and I do every single year at the Super Bowl, I talk to Jerry Kramer, who's one of my favorite players ever, one of my favorite humans ever. He finally gets in. He's 80 now, and the way he talks about Vince Lombardi, the way he talked about when Lombardi got on him, it would just tear you down, but he could pick you back up, and you'd live for those moments, those compliments. What about Parcells? Was he like that, and what was it like for you to play for him?
Yeah, first I got to meet Jerry Kramer this year, and it was really neat. And he shared some of those stories with me, so I totally understand what he's saying and what you're saying. And with Bill Parcells, you know, when I was a free agent, I met Bill for the very first time. I told him that coming out of college, I said that I never wanted to play for him, and I never wanted to play in New York, and because I thought New York was just about the Big Apple. So that was, but I came to learn it's not just the city, and I came to love that place. And then with regards to Bill, it was, I didn't like the way I saw on TV. He yelled at guys, he cussed at guys. I came out of college with a coach like that, and I was like, I'm never going to play for a coach like that again. And Bill told me, he goes, if you're the player I think you are, you're never going to hear me yell at you. And you know what? For those years I was with him, he never did. Now, one thing I'll say about Bill is that if there was 100 guys on that team, he knew how to push 100 different buttons. And the way he pushed mine was not like that. It was, he just challenged me in front of everybody. And I remember the first game against the Miami Dolphins. We go through the scouting report as a whole team, and the last thing he said is, "Why, if you don't block number 54, we're not going to win this game." And that was it. And we broke the meeting. And that's how he did it when we got ready to play Ted Washington for the first time when I was a Jet. And he goes, I didn't bring you here to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, so we just beat them. He goes, I brought you here so you can block this big guy that you're about to face next week. And that was the Sunday, I believe, within 2 hours after winning the game. And so he put me on notice on day, the very first moment getting ready to lead in that week. And that's how he pushed my buttons. He never had to yell and scream at me. He just had to push my buttons that way, challenge me in front of my teammates. And I, and my challenge was to step up to the plate. And I felt like I did that for him.
You did, and he knew. Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee, class of 2019, joining us for a few more moments. Kevin, you're working at Arizona State right now, where Pat Tillman's legacy continues on. You were in the league, and you were active with the NFLPA when September 11th happened. What do you remember about that time? And then as one player to another, what do you remember about Pat Tillman?
Yeah, during that time, I was actually Herm Edwards' first year with the New York Jets. So imagine being a first-year head coach in New York and dealing with that tragedy. And, so the way he handled that as a coach was really special. And I'm glad that I get to work with him here at ASU because of the man that he is and showing back then. But, I was a vice president, and I was
I was the team rep for our team with the NFL Players Association. And, you know, we had to make a decision whether we were going to play that week after the attack or not. And to a man on our team, we voted that no matter what, we weren't going to play a game. We would take a loss and just go on through the season with the loss as a forfeit if that was the case. And we had a meeting, a conference call that night with the NFLPA and had all 32 teams on board. And Phil Hansen from the New York, you know, for Buffalo Bills was their player rep at the time. He goes, I don't want to hear from anybody on the phone call except for Kevin Mawine and Mike Strahan, because they're the only two guys that are dealing with what's going on in New York right now. And I told them at that conference call that, you know, if the commissioner decides to make us play, just know that the New York Jets will not be playing the game because we've elected to forfeit this week if we had to. It's not right. And out of respect for what's going on for the survivors and the families of those lost, it just didn't make sense to play. And that was the night that every team voted not to play the game. And then the next day, the commissioner came out and said that they would cancel the week and then reschedule it later on. And so that was a great moment for not just myself, but for my teammates and for the city of New York to know that the players in the NFL felt so strongly about what happened that there's more important games than the game being played. And then, you know, fast forward with Pat Tillman, played against him when he was here with the Arizona Cardinals, and just a fierce competitor. And now being here on Arizona State's campus and seeing the legacy that he left here, you know, when you come into our facility, there's PT42 is all over our facility, but not just in football, but throughout the entire athletic community on Arizona State's campus. It's because he stood for everything that's right. He stood for commitment and excellence, and he stood for sacrifice and dedication. And so not just in football, but in the Sun Devil Athletic family, it exudes everything that we do here. It's what Ray Anderson's about. It's what Herm is about. It's what ASU stands for. And to see his pictures and his bust and or he has bronze statues that come out of our tunnel, it reminds you that there are people who stood up for more than just football and in a way of life. And it was about sacrificing to the nth degree for something you believed in. And so it's special to be around that and to be a part of that legacy now as a member of the ASU staff. It's just really cool. And it's one of the things when we give tours of the facility, the first thing I say is you're going to see PT42 all over the place because Pat Tillman did everything and sacrificed everything so that we can be here today. And it's a legacy that'll never go away in Arizona State.
So appreciate hearing you talk about him like that, Kevin. Kevin Mawine, my guest. I got about 90 seconds, Kevin. I got to ask you about your wife, Tracy. She's going to be the one to present you at the enshrinement ceremony. Any idea what it's going to be like to be up on stage with somebody who has been with you since you were a redshirt freshman in college, and the two of you will go in together?
Man, she's everything to me. She's been there for every high and low that I could ever face, both on and off the field, as a man, as a husband, as a father, and less importantly, as a football player. And in my life, could not imagine anybody that's more important than her. She deserves it. She's a Hall of Fame wife and a Hall of Fame mom, and she'll stand up there and do it stoically. And she's the epitome of a Proverbs 31 woman, a righteous woman in every way. And this is for her. She's a Hall of Famer, and she deserves every bit of this. I could not have done it without her. And I could not have imagined how anybody else present me besides my wife, Tracy.
He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2019. Kevin, congratulations. What an extraordinary conversation. It is so good to get caught up with you finally. So good to have you back on the show. Congratulations on that great honor. And so nice to talk to you, Kevin.
Jim, thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure, man. And let's not make it be so long this time.
You got it, Kevin. Thank you so much. That was so great. Really good to connect with you and get caught up. And congrats.